Times and Sheriff Joe. Thanks,
Bubba. Well, great.
All right.
Well, good luck with your guests.
Thank you.
Ask Tom Tancredo how he made out after he got ripped off by what's his name.
Wait a minute. Hey, you know, Tom said
Madoff. We're taking
Madoff.
We're taking collections right now for people who feel sorry for me.
Here's what Tom said. If he, you know, not if, but when he becomes governor, his head of economic development is going to be Bernie Madoff. Thanks, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, that laugh is mine. Please say good morning and welcome in the studio. I don't know why it's going to work. I never met Steve Laffey before. And he comes rolling. He looks like he sounds, right?
Yeah.
He's one of those guys.
I'll tell you right now. This guy, I am so mad at him. I am so ticked at Steve Laffey.
You turn his mic on.
There we go.
Turn his mic on.
Because.
Yes.
Now, look at this guy. I mean, nice looking fellow, speaks well and all that. He was my surrogate speaker while I, when I'm running for governor. Yeah. This guy was my pal, was going to do, and was, we were sending him out on the stump. Now I have to go up myself and look at me. I mean, I don't look as good as this guy. I can't speak as well as he can. He's left me in the lurch.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how we got onto the guy. Somebody sent me a bio or something. I don't know. Or somebody said, you won't believe this idiot. The kid tracks him down. We put him in a radio show and we get, I like him. I get a good vibe.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting talking to him. I said, Tancredo. He said, yeah. And I said, I don't know why this will work. And it may not.
Yeah. But I said, jumped into conclusions here.
Not so fast.
That's right.
I bounced this off of the crack team, Mr. C and my son, I'm not sure if he was my son. And I said, well, let's put these guys together. And everybody looked at me, what, are you crazy? And I said, you're not the first. So we got him in studio. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Laffey for Congress and Tom Tancredo for governor.
Mm.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for having us. Really appreciate
brother,
it.
Good to meet you, man. Good to see you finally in person. You got a cold.
Yeah, I do. And I do most certainly.
All right, let me ask you this question.
Okay.
This is the musical question.
Mm.
Dateline, Irving, Texas. Man, I love when those guys do that.
Yeah.
Speaking on behalf of Common Core, Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton standing side by side.
Yeah.
All right. Why?
Well, because, of course, they have the same goal in mind with regard to American public education, and that is to reduce the amount of time that is spent in any public school talking about the value of America. Do you remember, Pete, I think you and I actually did a show on this because it became quite controversial, but I was with U.S. Department of Education under Reagan, and I commissioned a paper attacking the University of Denver for something called global education.
Absolutely.
And, oh my goodness, we took a lot of flack about that, naturally, as is generally the case when almost I do anything. And first of all, what business is it of the U.S. Department of Education as to what goes on at the University of Denver? And that School of International Studies was the place that this all came
GSIS.
Out of.
GSIS.
That's right. Wow. Oh, absolutely. You've got, gee, you are good.
Wow.
And but this is exactly what we were talking about. This idea that the kind of education that, the elitists in this country want is one that is not focused on, especially in terms of political political history, not focused on the United States because there's nothing unique here. And there is the only way the world survives is by teaching children that we all are part of this great big planet and can only survive by grabbing hands and singing Kumbaya.
I remember when we did those shows, those 1,000 years ago, in the background, we used to play from, it's a small world. Say, hey, son, find that.
Oh,
it's
God.
From Disney. Remember we used to play in the background? Yeah,
you
it's
bet,
a small.
You bet.
You ever been on that ride?
I have, absolutely. I had grandchildren.
You come out of there
and,
like.
And after I rode it, I took them on.
Oh, yeah. But it's like, you ever been on that ride?
No, I have never have.
All right. It's like somebody holding a pan next to your head. Because that's the only song they sang.
They played over and over again.
Oh, like, oh yeah, over again. Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
When you come out of there, it's like.
I think, it's almost my personal story about this whole Common Core. And I got out of being the mayor and had my kids in public school. 2006, I was a mayor of a bankrupt city. So my wife says to me, my book was coming out, Primary Mistake, which Tom has a copy of. And so I said to my wife, you know, for 12 years, we've done whatever I wanted to do. What do you want to do? She said, I want to take the kids to Ireland for a month and see our sister. I said, great. So I went and got some books.
Yeah.
I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
I was ashamed of how little my kids knew about math. I never sent them back. I homeschooled them to the very day after that. Yeah. This Common Core is another extension of control over our kids. It started with, you know, in the 70s. It continues through No Child Left Behind, which my book goes into, and it goes to today. And I think people like Jeb Bush, I think they're sort of like Chris Christie. I think they're kind of stretching. They always think if I can become president, I'll just stretch to the middle. And it always fails, by the way, I think, you know, with Mitt Romney and his health care plan. They say, well, I'll get to the middle, and I'll be liked a lot. Instead, it just backfires on them. Hopefully, this will backfire on them, too.
You know, I got done writing this extensive piece on Common Core that will be published, and I'm writing it. We talk about it all the time. All right, so last Thursday, Jebby Bush speaking. And that's why I said this guy's hat, what they said, my hat's in the ring. He's running.
Oh, absolutely.
Do not kid yourself.
Yeah.
And so he makes his appearance in Tennessee. Next to him is Lamar Alexander, one-time education secretary, a member of the GOP. I'll read this to you. Under increasing pressure because of his support for Common Core, Senator Lamar Alexander, R10, said, let's don't talk about Common Core. So moving right along, the Tennessee on March the 13th, Tennessee State House voted 82-11 to delay the controversial Common Core standards. Now, despite Common Core champion GOP Governor Bill Haslam. Now, Lamar Alexander says, and by the way, Jebby said, let's not talk about this. Remember, Jebby said it was just all this backlash. Dateline, Indiana. I mean, we just get on a list of things, but to his, here it is. The announcement came Monday that Indiana has become the first state to formally abandon Common Core. Mm-hmm. But Republican Governor Mike Pence's signature on the bill has been met with considerable skepticism as critics of the nationalized incentive contend the state simply is going to rebrand it. There are people with stones to knock this back. We've talked about it so many times, the math, and everything that goes with it, but I was blown by this one. Hillary Rodham Clinton and Jeb Bush, potential foes in 2016, standing side by side promoting
Common Core.
It's a disgrace.
It is important for people to realize that a very important part of Common Core, the thing that they push perhaps more than anything else and harder than anything else, is the abandonment of a reading curriculum that includes any of the great works of Western civilization and a refocusing of all of the literature that children will be reading on nonfiction stuff. So that you, because they say, what good is reading, you know, the classics when you should be reading things that will help you get
daily
a job
life.
in the computer industry or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you see, it is important that part of the curriculum that does focus what little is left on the classics. And I'm talking about in high school and I'm not, you know, not talking about St. John's College necessarily here, but that part that does focus on the classics, it's important because it begins to give you a sense of the importance of Western civilization.
Amen.
You know, it is where we come from. It is exactly it's a set of morals and ideas and attitudes that we should in fact be championing. And this Common Core wants like crazy to get away from that. It's a perfect example of why we need a standard in this state that says every child graduating from a public school should be from a school in the state. The standard should be, number one, you should be able to articulate an appreciation for Western civilization, for American exceptionalism, and for the Constitution of the United States. Let's have that battle. Let me argue that out with the teachers' union, and they will argue it, that's for sure, that we should absolutely not have that kind of a focus.
And not only will they argue it, what's happened in our public schools through much of the country, and Common Core is another extension of, if you've got kids like I, and I got six, you know, you talk to parents, they are scared to mention, hey, little Johnny's not getting a good teacher next year. They get blacklisted. The power of the unions, the national unions, this is just another extension of having control over our children. The public schools can't be fixed anymore.
No.
We've got to get them out, like I did to my children. We've got to get them out one by one by one.
Well, but, you know, you're talking about lowering the river? And the answer is to build a better bridge.
Yeah.
And let me give you some examples of some books. The Night Daddy Went to Jail. This, am I making this up?
Did you write that?
Yeah, I could have. What to Expect When Someone You Love Goes to Jail.
Oh, my gosh.
I know there's another one. Hair in Funny Places, written by Babette Cole. This book covers everything in puberty, boobs and pubes. Your mom sprouted small bosoms and hair in funny places.
Oh, my God.
No, it gets better. Don't Make Me Go Back, Mommy. A child's book about satanic ritual abuse. Now, hang on. It just gets better. This is one that I've read a couple of these. Hiroshima no Pika. This is the book that blames the horrible Americans for atomic bombing those non-white, innocent Asians. Here's one. This is my favorite. Maggie Goes on a Diet. You see the copy? I making this up?
Yeah. No, unfortunately.
There it is. Yeah. All right. So I've been collecting this stuff, and guys, I mean, and I have nothing to do. You guys both have lives, but I have been reading, and I can't find. And again, this dodge out that these Common Core guys have, and then we'll get lines open, everybody can talk. But they say it's just English and math. These are the nationalized Common Core. And so when I begin to speak about this, oh, no, we're just talking about. But when you go in, the real problem is that there's nothing in Common Core that I can find that's about being able to explain why America seceded from Great Britain or how the Constitution fulfills the ideals that are laid out in the Declaration of Independence, which is God-given rights. It's all a process.
That's right.
And you determine the meaning of words and phrases as they are used in the text, including analyzing how an author uses and refines the meaning of key terms.
One of the tenets of this Common Core when it comes to math, when you look through some of the problems, is that there really aren't any answers.
No.
So there's a philosophy under Common Core that there really isn't an answer. Whereas there are answers, like 2 + 2 = 4.
Well, how do you feel about that, though?
Yeah, but
How do you feel about 2 + 2?
Make this comment, and then I'll shut up. In the end of Orwell's Brilliance in 1984, mm-hmm. it's a math problem that makes Winston Smith believe Big Brother. When he leaves the Ministry of Love, they put the rats on his face, and when he leaves, 2 + 2 = 5, not only does he know it, he believes it.
Mm-hmm.
And he, too, has now come out that Big Brother loves him. And I thought it was fascinating. And I, like I said, two things I can't seem to do are math and marriage. But when you look at this, and he says stuff like, there's multiple answers to a math question. And all I can hearken back is to Winston Smith when the math answer is the wrong answer, but it's the right answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh.
It is good.
And that's where they're going.
And Pete, going back for a minute to the idea of what children need to be taught. When I was teaching civics at Drake Junior High in Arvada, I used to get into arguments with some of my colleagues in the faculty lounge because they felt I was being a little too patriotic in my classroom and or indoctrinating students. And I said, you know, there's two or three of them that were this way to the teachers. One was a language arts teacher, and the other was an art teacher. And so I said, it's interesting, is it not, that you would never argue with the fact that you have to teach children when they come into your classroom what is great art or what is great literature. Nobody walks into your classroom. No seventh grader comes in saying to your art class, saying, you know, I saw that Picasso last night. It was in the Blue Period, and I thought it was really beautiful. And nobody comes into the language arts class saying, I read some Shakespearean sonnets, and I wanted to discuss them with you, teacher. No kid does that. Your job as the art teacher, your job as the language arts teacher is to teach them what is great art and why it's great art and what is great literature and why it's great literature. My job is to teach them what's great about America, because if I don't, how will they know? If you're just a kid growing up here, and unless your parents are really into this, you know, and willing to teach you about the country, why would you think that this country is anything unique? You just grew up here. It's like every place else, is it not? Well, of course it isn't. But unless you teach them that, they will never know. So, yes, we have a responsibility in our, and we used to accept that. I mean,
as a given.
Absolutely. I went to St. Catherine's Elementary School, and let me tell you, you know, If somebody would have said, and my parents are first generation Italian American, first generation American, and they couldn't speak 10 words of Italian because their parents wouldn't let them. But I go to school, and if somebody would have said to me at the time, you know, what's your heritage? And I'd have said, what do you mean my heritage? My heritage is, you know, George Washington and Madison. And because that's what I thought of, and because that's what I was taught, and that's what my parents taught me. We were not forced into these, I call it the cult of multiculturalism that actually pushes all of this junk and puts Americans into all these little subgroups, all of them fighting each other. Everybody's in a victim group. And then they take advantage of those victimized groups to gain political power. And I'm telling you, it is absolutely, it's horrible because the public schools have lost the one thing that they really, it was important for them to do, and that was to make a common culture.
And that's, you look at the top down versus the bottom up. I homeschool the three little ones we have left. The other ones are older now. And we choose the curriculum.
Yeah.
And we decide what they're going to learn. And they learn about America.
You bet.
And they learn about what a great country it was. And so the closer we can get to that, not everybody can homeschool their children. We get that, right? I understand that. But the closer we can get to that, where local communities are making the decisions about the books, right? And they come in and say, no, these are the books we want. That's the closer we're going to get to having test scores finally going up.
And I think people want that. I think they want that, and for the most part, for their kids. They don't feel that necessarily they're capable of providing it. God bless you for doing this, Steve. But I'm telling you, it's the reason why Russia's book is, you know, number one in children's literature, children's books nowadays. And he's got the second one out, and I think it's also Rush Limbaugh teaching about.
And, you know, they don't want him on the list.
Oh, God.
They don't want Limbaugh to get an award. I mean, the progressives who handle this stuff. Limbaugh, and I haven't seen the book. I know.
Oh, I read it to my grandkids.
Is it good?
It is terrific.
Okay.
And the kids love it. I mean, they really enjoy it. And actually, I enjoyed reading it. It's kind of a funny, interesting way of dealing with
it. And they're trying to knock him out of the box.
Of course, every day.
He's written this. I don't know if he ghosted it, if he had, it doesn't matter. His name's on it. And now, as you know, it's up for an award. It's up for a children's reading award. And the progressives and the left are having a cow over this. Mm-hmm. And like I said, would they prefer Hiroshima no Pika?
Yeah,
precisely. And
I mean, some of these books they've come up with, though, for Common Core, and some of the articles just about, you know, there's one where there's a lady sitting on a, waiting for her husband to come home, and it's for eighth graders, and it's about the divorce and the affair that
she found in the bed. She finds, the mom comes home and finds the other woman's hair bracelet or whatever it was.
I haven't read that in a couple of weeks.
But she finds it in bed. Then they ask the eighth graders, well, why is she upset?
Age inappropriate.
That.
You can't believe how age inappropriate it is.
Hey, I tell you what. Telling a 9-year-old kid, how to put on a condom in a fourth grade.
Yeah.
And I said, no, wait, hold on. I mean, then they have this thing of teaching a kid how to masturbate. I said, who needs to teach anybody that? who needs to teach you that?
Do you remember your teacher?
No, of course not. You just kind of came onto that yourself. But, all right, kids, 1, 2, 1, 2. who's making this up?
I had to teach sex ed all of us had to take a turn at sex ed in junior high, and I had to take the class.
I don't know.
To teach it.
Right. Oh my gosh!
But no, I mean, for real. I mean,
we
really got a break. I can go in my stack and I can find you teaching the kids how to masturbate. I'm going. Like somebody needs to teach you that.
Yeah.
If you got to be taught how to do that, you got bigger problems than Common Core. All right, everybody, I need to do this. It's Granite Transformation. It's time to redo your kitchens, your bath. You still get this done. Straight ahead is Easter and, of course, Passover, and you get all this done. It's a product you really need to see to believe. Imagine here. This is how you do it, kids. Ready? All right. Beautiful granite, mosaic, or recycled glass countertops measured and cut to fit right over your existing countertops so there's no messy tear out of your old counters. These are heat and stain resistant, never need sealing. More importantly, they're affordable and can be installed in most cases in a day. Also help with the transformation of your entire kitchens or bath. Give Todd Dutton and the staff at Granite Transformations a chance to earn your biz. Call them today, 303-420-8920, 303-420-8920. But here's the cool one. Do it all on the Internet. Let Todd and the folks at Granite Transformations save you money, time, and headaches. You go online, granitetransformations.com, Denver, and you take your digital cameras or your phones, and you take pictures of your bathrooms and kitchens and send them in. and they'll morph them, and they'll change the colors, and they'll do this, and they'll do that. And you go back and forth a couple of times, you get what you want, and then you say, okay, I'll take the deal. You heard it on 710. Get a free stainless steel sink and a designer faucet to throw it in the deal. These are good guys. Todd Dutton and the crew, 303-420-8920 or GraniteTransformations.com, Denver.
When Accent is slowing down this drive, this report brought to you by AutoTrader.com. Accident on eastbound I-70 just past I-25. You are heavy from Sheridan over to the I-25 merge. That is stop and go. Your extra minute. Also backing up that I-25 I-70 merge ramp. Minor accident on the turnpike. Westbound 36 after Church Ranch. Find a great deal on a brand new car at AutoTrader.com. Compare prices and special offers on new cars from local dealers. AutoTrader.com, the ultimate new car marketplace. I'm Susan Phelan, 710 KNUS, First Alert Traffic.
Dennis Prager here on the next Dennis Prager Show. The 10th federal judge has now struck down a state law defining marriage as between a man and a woman. 10 people have decided for 10 states over the millions of voters who have defined marriage the way it has always been defined. And this is called a democracy.
Dennis Prager, weekdays from 11 to 1 on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Hi, folks. This is Alan Thicke, and as one of those TV dads, I had to teach the kids about handling money, so here goes. Rule number one, don't mess with the IRS. They're cracking down this year. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank account, even your home or business could be up for grabs over unpaid taxes. It's all true. But it's also true that they're offering a new way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, an important government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered, so now's the time. You could qualify for a tax settlement that's 75% lower than before these recent changes. The experts at Optima Tax Relief will work to get you the best deal possible. Don't mess with the IRS. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima for a free consultation.
Call 800-711-5743. That's 800-711-5743. 800-711-5743. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Each franchise independently owned and operated. Offer good on selected signature series only. Ask for details.
Hey, Julie. Thanks for coming over.
Aw, thanks for inviting me.
Wow, the place looks amazing. Did you redecorate or something?
Well, I did get new shades.
New shades? That's it? Can I get your decorator's number?
Actually, they're from Budget Blinds. They have all these amazing window coverings. And they design, measure, and even install. I didn't have to lift a finger.
It's the Window Fashions event at Budget Blinds. Get $100 off every $500 you spend. Plus, get a free personal design consultation. That's an amazing savings on tons of gorgeous window coverings backed with a no-questions-asked warranty. To save $100 plus receive a free personal design consultation, call Budget Blinds now at 1-800-780-9424. See for yourself how easy it is to change the look of your home during our Window Fashions event. Call 1-800-780-9424 now to request your free, no-obligation consultation. Hurry, this incredible sale ends soon. Call now, 1-800-780-9424.
Find top brands at low prices at RV America. Motorhomes, fifth wheels, pop-ups, and travel trailers. Three locations, Aurora, Johnstown, and online at RVAmericaInc.com. Sales, service, rentals, parts in the giant RV and big rig collision oil change center. See the beauty of America with RV America. Find top brands at low prices at RV America. Motorhomes, fifth wheels, pop-ups, and travel trailers. Three locations, Aurora, Johnstown, and online at RVAmericaInc.com. Sales, service, rentals, parts in the giant RV and big rig collision oil change center. See the beauty of America with RV America.
Impatience is a virtue. Lease a 2014 Mini Cooper S Countryman All 4 for just $239 a month for 36 months with 3-year, 36,000-mile no-cost maintenance. That's $239 a month for 36 months with a 3-year, 36,000-mile no-cost maintenance plan. Visit ColoradoMiniDealers.com for details. That's ColoradoMiniDealers.com. Impatience is a virtue. Lease a 2014 Mini Cooper S Countryman All 4.
Now, back to Peter Boyles. News Talk 710, KNUS.
It is 26. You're picking them, man. 26 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. 826, 710, KNUS. We have this picture up. Although, you're Rich Wyatt here, and Richie's Gunsmoke truck is pretty, it's wrapped up pretty good. This is probably the most offensive truck decal I've ever seen, and the guy took it off the back of his truck. At first blush, I'm going to turn this over here real quick. Steve, at first blush, how real does that look?
Pretty real.
Yeah, Tommy, yeah. First blush.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got it up on a website. It's a decal.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a decal of a woman. Well, you describe
it. Well, it looks like she's tied up in the back of a truck, but it's actually on the panel.
It's on the panel.
Oh, my gosh.
And and this guy is driving down the highway. I'll show it to Richard. Look, look at this. I mean, we have a picture up on our website, 710knus.com.
Holy crap.
Isn't that amazing? And the guy, they made him, he's taking it off now. And it was in Waco, Texas.
Huh. Now, I wonder what was the, what law was
being
violated?
Well, there wasn't a law applied. The guy does this. He makes decals. And he's looking to drum up decal business. So he thought this was,
do it.
We thought this was really ha-ha funny. And the woman actually works for him. And they did her, they tied her up. And she looks like an abused woman in the back of a truck going down the highway.
She really,
so it's up on our website, 710knus.com. Real quick, I do a home loan, saving money, and then we'll go back to great guest. Ideal Home Loans, where your independence from high interest rates is what we're talking about. And Ideal, where the mission is to help you live the American dream through personalized mortgage loans and refi options. Ideal Home Loans keeps the customer's goals and concerns first in their full-service mortgage lender, experienced staff offering expertise in every area of mortgage lending. Now, if you're paying greater than 4.25%, you're paying too much. Ideal's there. Brent Ivinson's waiting for your call. 303-867-7000, 303-867-7000. Find out more about purchasing your first home, refining a current home. You got questions, you call my guy, Brent Ivinson. His website is idealhomeloans.com, pretty simple. But the phone number is 303-867-7000, 867-7000. This is what I hope for, and it's going to work. Tom Tancredo's here with Steve Laffey in studio. Steve, of course, for Congress, and Tommy for the Republican nomination to run against John Hickenlooper. Let me ask, we're talking about this off the air. It's the elephant in the room. The GOP, we're talking about the GOP and Jeb Bush and the GOP and Lamar Alexander and others. The GOP has served up a platter, if you would, of candidates. And Bob Beaupre, Cory Gardner, all these different characters have been saying, here is who your GOP endorses. You have an argument with any of that?
My argument, I wrote a book about it, Primary Mistake, is about the national party, but it also goes to the state party that I've been involved in. And it's about putting power over principle to such a degree that they lose power. And if you look back from even when, just go back to George Bush the first came in and they decided, you know what, we're going to outsource these jobs. You know, why there were no Reagan Democrats? We're going to outsource these jobs to China, communist China. And we're going to bring in the people from other countries and make them work less. And you look up why real wages in this country have gone down for 12 straight years. Mm-hmm. Communist China, the World Trade Organization, all the things that have happened in this country that regular middle class folks can't make it. So the Republican Party is greatly responsible for that.
Yep.
And that's why people have turned away many ways from the Republican Party. I mean, there are two parties. Tom's running as a Republican. I'm running as a Republican. But 4 years ago when he had to, he stepped out and said, hey, we can't put up with this nonsense, and became the Constitutional Party candidate, right, Tommy?
You bet. You remember, Peter, there was a book written a few years ago by George Bush's speechwriter. I think it was called Speechless. I can't remember for sure. And I don't have the kind of memory you have about these things, but I will never forget one of the things he wrote, because it so exemplified what I saw in George Bush and serving in Congress while he was president. The speechwriter, who was a good guy and eventually left because he just couldn't handle the kind of neocon aspect of the Bush administration, but he had written a speech for Bush in which he was extolling the virtues of conservatism, conservative philosophy, and what it meant inside the Republican Party and that sort of thing. Bush calls him in. Says to him, what's all this stuff in here about conservatives? And the guy goes, well, Mr. President, it's, you know, I'm talking about Barry Goldwater and Ronald Reagan and what the history of the party and conservatism in the party. And he said, take all this junk out.
Yeah.
He said, I have redefined the Republican Party.
Absolutely.
And he indeed did.
Yeah.
Not to the benefit of the party, and certainly not to the benefit of the United States. But that, I will never forget that, because that is exactly the point of view that he held, and what he really and truly did to the party. And, you know, when I was in Congress...
He did to the world, Tom.
Yes. Yeah. When I was in Congress, the rap I took from the Speaker and the Majority Leader, and the Whip, Tom DeLay, you know, they do this bad cop, good cop thing with me. You know, the Speaker would be, Tommy, come on, you got to be a nice kid. And DeLay would, if you don't shape up, Tancredo. Yeah. But what they'd say all the time is, you're not on the team.
I heard this every day.
You're not on the team.
Every day.
And I kept saying... You know, where's the team? Where is the team that I actually signed up for, Mr. Speaker? I said, I came in here with every intention of being on the team. I thought we have a Republican governor, president, Senate, House. We are going to kick butt. It's going to be great. We're going to reduce taxes. We're going to shrink the government. We're going to strengthen the borders. We're going to do all this cool stuff that the people really want us to do. And we did none of it. And so, I attacked him all the time. And of course, as a result,
Karl Rove told you. We talk about Tancredo, and I'm just this big fan and longtime friend. What did, they call the guy Bush's brain, Karl Rove.
Yeah.
What did he say to you?
He said to me at an end of a conversation we had, I was pulling out of my driveway in Alexandria, heading for the Capitol one morning, and the phone rings, and I open up the little flip phone at that time, and it said White House.
Yeah.
And I thought, holy mackerel, they never call me. What's going on? And so, hello, said, hello, Mr. Tancredo, Congressman Tancredo, yes. I said, will you hold for Karl Rove? And I said, sure. Yeah. And I'm out driving into the Capitol, and he says to me, I said, well, good morning, Karl. Good morning. I said, how are you? He says, well, I was okay until I read the paper today because I had given an interview to the Washington Times the day before in which I was quite critical of George Bush and the handling. In this case, it was the issue of immigration and especially border security. Mm-hmm. And we got into a very heated conversation, and it lasted all the way up 395 to the Capitol. And at the end, he said to me, I'll just tell you this. Don't ever darken the doorstep of this White House.
This is a non-elected man.
Right.
You're telling an elected congressman.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the part that always drilled me is, and now he appears on Fox News. He's the power broker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's the guy that serves up the Bob Beaupre's of the world. I'm sorry.
Yeah, similar story is I'm getting ready to run for the U.S. Senate in Rhode Island, where I've been the elected mayor of a bankrupt city. We had turned around.
Yeah.
And you know about this.
I
but
do.
I was called
great.
Down, I was called down to see Libby Gold, the senatorial campaign committee lady, and Mark Stevens, and they wanted to fly me down in their plane. My first thought was, they got a plane? What the heck is going on?
Number two, I get off it?
No. And I said, no, I'll just take Southwest Airlines. And I flew down. And in that room, it was all about me running for lieutenant governor, has no function at all. And no ticket you run on that particular state. And then they turned to me, because they had a background data on me, and they just said at one point, they couldn't get me to consider their ways. And they just said, well, we're all Christians.
And
for 15 minutes, I didn't say it. I just kept talking about how Lincoln Chafee, the now Democrat governor, that's the guy they spent $2 million attacking me, defending him.
Right.
So, again, power over principle. And finally, I just said to him, hey, you know what? We're all Christians, so Mr. Chafee, he hates his job. Why don't we get him something he likes?
Yeah.
He likes shoeing horses.
Yeah.
He likes the environmental stuff. Why don't you just tell him not to run? And then it was silence.
Yeah.
We're not here to talk about that. And then I knew that was a total farce.
I tell you, Bubba, this is the first time we've met. We've talked once, and I like this guy. His name's Steve Laffey. He's with Tom Tancredo, Peter Boyles, Richie Wyatt's here, 710 KNUS. I'm deep in reading again because I'm finding myself writing again so much. So I'm back reviewing George Bush. Dan Kappas and I had an exchange on the war, on the wars. So first of all, there was no weapons of mass destruction. So George Bush has these regrets. And George Bush, by the way, on the record has admitted that there's no weapons. But it's funny what people say. His biggest regret was he didn't get citizenship path for the illegals.
Yeah.
Mm.
But his biggest mistake, he admits, was an intelligence failure on weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, my God, you can only say I regret a mistake after all these kids
people
are gone.
Did. Peter, there was a group that Paul Ron Paul would it's called Liberty Caucus.
Sure.
There were like four of us in Congress.
I was gonna say.
And we would meet in his office, right? On one Thursday a month, and had this bowl of shrimp that everybody, I think that was the attraction for a lot of people.
Free lunch.
Anyway, yeah. So we'd go in and he'd have a little speaker. A speaker in this little office. And one time it was a retired general who had been in charge of planning for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Mm-hmm. Okay, I will never forget this. He says, he's talking about his career and everything and what he had seen. And he gets to this point and he starts talking about the 9/11. Mm-hmm. 9/11 occurs and they go to him and they say, okay, what's the plan? You know, we've got a plan for everything. What do we do? And he says, they come back and they said, well, we go to Afghanistan, we destroy the Taliban and kill Osama bin Laden. That's the plan. That's then the you plan. Come home. Yeah. Right. And he takes it to Wolfowitz at the White House. And Wolfowitz says to him, according to this guy, now he's a retired general, Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Now, I know you're talking about here. Go ahead.
He says to him, Afghanistan.
Yeah.
We're going to Iraq. We're
going to Iraq. He said, well, there were guys in that book, Bush at War.
Yeah.
That they said that before 9/11.
Oh, that's my point.
Yeah.
The plan was to go into Iraq long before we went into Iraq.
They
wanted to use the 9/11 as the excuse to do so. Now, they went to Afghanistan, it's true, but the plan to go into Iraq. Now, the question is, why? I mean, and there's all kinds, it's almost like we get back to the Obama thing. You know, we know that this is the fact that there was a plan to do it. The question is why? Was it altruistic? What did we want to start create an oasis of democracy in a sea of totalitarianism? Did we want to, was it because George Bush's father
because
threatened to, or they tried to assassinate Bush's father, you know,
you can pick a reason.
Saddam. All these are different reasons, but all this guy said, and I have certainly no reason, he had no reason to lie about it.
Now,
he said, the plan to go into Iraq preceded us going into Iraq by a long time.
But that was the neocons.
Absolutely.
That was Wolfowitz.
So it
guys.
Could have been the Israeli connection, you
Who
know,
knows?
That's because that's big.
Yeah, we don't know. I was,
but he wasn't the guy.
About 4 months ago, I was invited down to have dinner with George Bush in a private room at the library, about 60 of us, Liberty Foundation. It was a lot of money. I didn't pay anything. They just invited me down. I don't even know why. I was struck at 2 hours. He spoke about two and a half. I was struck by President Bush's inconsistencies on just about every topic. It was amazing to me just to sit there off the record cuff, you know, talking about Putin as if he was still a nice guy and about his dog and instead of like the terror that he could cause. Also about
looked into his eyes and saw.
Yeah. Also about the debt and how the debt he actually said the debt hadn't really gone up under his watch. And you're sitting there, I don't want to stand up and, you know, scream. But it was just amazingly inconsistent. And I think that sort of someone without he just was an inconsistent guy.
Yeah.
He was actually just so pleased to be the president.
Of course, it did go up. And you say, well, our expenditure, you know, up until 2001, there is we were actually achieving for like 3 or 4 years a surplus.
Yeah.
And that was great. And you know, Clinton can take some degree of credit for it. But the reality is we did have a surplus. And then all of a sudden, 9/11 and the spending went crazy, and the deficits went crazy. And I can understand the spending on the war effort, on increasing the military. But the problem is, you never make it a priority. Nobody said, we have to spend more on the military, so therefore we have to spend less here in order to maintain.
No one will say that.
No, it's just we have to spend more on the military. Well, I'm all for doing that. I'm okay with doing that at the time, certainly. But my point was, but where are we going to get this money? How
it was borrowed.
We've got to, that's right. We've got to pick a place along this huge spectrum of expenditures and reduce it. And, of course, that never happened.
And that's why you said earlier that the Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton picture of the same kind of morphing into each other. Just think about the end of 2008. When we know, by the way, think of the lies. You said 1984. Yeah. Remember when they raised FDIC insurance from 100 to 250? Mm-hmm. And I'm in Mississippi at the time. And I remember driving down this country road going, looking to my left, looking to my right. Who the heck on either side of the road has more than $100,000 in a bank?
It wasn't for those
Nobody
people.
Nobody wasn't for those people.
That's right. Absolutely.
And it goes on with the TARP program. Well, even Sarah Palin and Mitt Romney looking into the camera because they're part of the party.
Sure.
And they've got to back up this TARP program, right? And then you think about all these things that were happening at the end of the Bush term, and it morphs into Obama very easily, right?
All right, everybody sit still. This is not the last time these guys will be together to do a show. All right, so tomorrow's Wednesday. Shows you how connected I am. Sometime this week, make this phone call, 720-528-4390. It rings in Dr. McCallan at Cenogenics Denver. You'll speak with Nicole or Bethany. And you make an appointment to talk with Dr. McCallan over the phone for 20 minutes on a gimme. She's wonderful. She's a physician. She's an MD, and Ascenogenics Denver will help you regain healthy energy, get rid of extra weight, improve your sleep, come back with a vibrant, energetic life. I'm an old guy, man, and this woman has changed my life through her abilities to do so. The sad news, unless you correct root causes, you're going to fight a losing battle. Take control of your health and longevity right now. 20 minutes with the doctor for free. 720-528-4390 is her phone number. You talk to Nicole. I want to talk to Dr. McCallum. Okay, you arrange everybody's schedules, and you get the phone call. 720-528-4390. 20 minutes with a physician for free. Hold on. 710 KNUS.
How is that looking better for the drive? This report brought to you by Hammermill Title and Pete Paper. There was an accident eastbound I-70 just past I-25. That wreck is gone. Heavy from Federal to Brighton Boulevard. Minor crash on the turnpike westbound 36 at Church Ranch. That is gone. Tapping the brakes from Sheridan. Crash eastbound Highway 58 at McIntyre. Wreck in Aurora, 6th and Sable. Now at Costco.com, save up to $4 off on select Hammermill Title items. Offer valid through March 30th, 2014, while supplies last. Hammermill, no worries. I'm Susan Phelan, 710 KNUS, First Alert Traffic.
Hi, it's Peter Boyles. I've been talking about Get Found Fast on the radio now for months. I've known these guys for years. If you run a business, you get the calls every day from people selling the promise of getting found on Google. Kenny Marks is with me, and in Denver, these guys are the guys. They've found and helped tons of local businesses. And Kenny, how do you get found fast?
Pete, we're located right here in Denver, so we start by sitting with you in person for a full website analysis to show you your company's internet presence, including your website, your Google rank, social media, even your competition, and why they're beating you. We assess your company's needs and show you what to do to get found on the web. We're going to leave you with great information your business can use.
These are the guys for local business owners. If your website is old, your customers can't find you on the internet, you call them at 303-952-4900. It's a free analysis. You get this information. Help grow your business. Remember, it's free. You go out and talk to them free. 303-952-4900. It's time for your business to getfoundfast.com.
Get found fast. Get found fast. Get found fast.
Today in the studio, we have Ted Koons from Renewal by Anderson Replacement Windows. So, Ted, tell us, what's so unique about your window?
Well, our exclusive Fibrex window material is 2 times stronger than vinyl. And that means even with our temperature swings and UV rays, our window is strong enough to make your whole home comfortable.
Now, you don't just let anyone install your windows, do you?
No, we do not. Our guys aren't remodeling kitchens or building decks. They only install our windows. In fact, they're so skilled, we warrant their installations.
Now, for a few more weeks, you've got some great deals and great financing.
Yeah, right now, buy 2 windows or patio doors, and your third is 60% off. And that's with no money down, no payments, and no interest for a year.
That sounds like a great deal. And if you'd like more information on Renewal by Anderson 60% off special, just call 303-968-1666. 303-968-1666. That's 303-968-1666, or visit StrongestDenverWindow.com.
If you owe $20,000 or more in back taxes to the state or to the IRS, then please listen to this. Hi, it's Peter Boyles for Larson Financial. If you or your business owe back taxes, I urge you to call our friends at Larson, L-A-R-S-O-N, Financial. It's time to make your New Year's resolution to get your back taxes finally fixed in 2014. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate any longer, because you will pay more in the end. The state or the IRS will catch up with you. They can levy your bank accounts and garnish your wages. Larson Financial Tax Resolution has helped thousands of people and businesses just like you. Larson Financial will protect your assets. They'll help you with payroll taxes, sales taxes, personal back tax debt issues. Larson Financial has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. 303-554-0778. Visit them online, larson-financial.com. Don't pay more taxes than you need to. Larson Financial, 303-554-0778.
Our family has been chosen for a great task.
Since the beginning of time,
a great flood is coming.
The world's most epic story.
I have to save the innocent.
Has only been imagined.
You stand alone and defy me.
I'm not alone.
This Friday,
take the ark!
He chose you for a reason, Noah.
The story comes to life.
It begins.
Noah, rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. Noah is inspired by the book of Genesis. The artistic license has been taken. We believe the film is true to the values and integrity of the biblical story.
This is Peter Boyles, News Talk 710, KNUS.
We got to have these guys all back in the room. I don't know. Tuesday morning, March the 25th, 2014. You know, never, you know, give up hope. But for those moments, we just go, you know, the fact that people can still stand there with the Republican Party and say, this is the answer, is way beyond me. Real quick and then back and wrap it with the guys. Captain America, Dan Kaplan, is coming up. Fewer than 66% of people who need a colonoscopy never get one. Although colon cancer, number two cause of death in the U.S., colon cancer almost 100% curable if you find it early enough. So why is colon cancer ranked number two in cancer death? Because you're avoiding a colonoscopy. Front range preventive imaging. I've been through three times for that, three times for heart imaging. And they're just terrific. Dr. Blanchett's the man. Recent studies have shown virtual colonoscopies find more cancers than conventional or optical colonoscopies. And many insurance companies are now covering this cost. Front Range is the most experienced facility in northern Colorado. The most advanced workstations developed specifically for non-invasive exams. It's a no-brainer. Get your heart scanned. Get that done. No needles, no knockout, no sedation. And now you don't have an excuse. Front Range Preventive Imaging, 303-443-7226. 303-443-7226. They're in Boulder. He's a really fine man. Dr. Blanchett, the people there, avoid this. Get it done. 303-443-7226. Back tomorrow morning, of course, at 5 a.m. Sitting here, and I don't know why I thought it would work, and it has. Steve Laffey is with us, along with Tom Tancredo. So, guys, what's going to happen in November? And, you know, we've talked about, you know, you guys are the redheaded stepchildren of the GOP.
Yeah.
You're, you know, sitting here throwing rocks at Jeb Bush. You're done.
I wrote a whole book about it. With George
you
Bush.
Mean, you mean if he wins, I won't be invited? I won't be able to step foot in the White House.
No, but well, listen, I took this off the air, but when I came to Colorado with my six children, I did it because I thought I might check out. I bought a ranch.
Well, you were
raised,
talking about that.
Raised the horses and cows. I joined the 4-H. It's great, but then I started making this movie, Fixing America, and I don't think we can't, everybody listen, we can't check out because there's no place to go.
Yeah.
I mean, we did, people like Tom, got to get back, Peter, what you're doing here every day. Got to stay in the fight. And you got to stay in the fight. Now, listen, the party that I am in, the Republican Party, has already tacked me with millions of dollars.
Yeah.
It's, in some ways, in a two-party system, there's nowhere else to go. But I just think we got to take it directly to the people. I'm running in Congressional District 4.
Mm-hmm.
It's stevelaffey.com is the website. And my website, by the way, is a little unusual. I put out 3-minute things on Common Core and 1-hour shows that I did in my own, built my own studio in my house, a radio TV network I was building. So to go forward with it, you just got to keep up the fight because I got these six kids and they got no future as we stand today.
Tommy, what about it?
Well, there is a challenge to us all, that's for sure. And, you know, if there were a viable third party, if there was a way to do this, as an independent, of course, we'd be pursuing it. That isn't. There isn't a way to do that right now. It is the Republican Party. You know, an example, of course, was the last election. The Republican candidate, although by the end of the election, even the chairman of the party, who is certainly critical of me, but even he said, this is the worst candidate, talking about the Republican that they had put up, the worst candidate we've ever fielded, and any vote for him is a wasted vote. And he still, now this is the party chairman, and the guy still got 11% of the vote.
Damn.
So what you've got to, this you got to take in consideration here, that there's a lot of people go to the polls, and they just vote. They really and truly don't know who the candidates are. They just, you know, push R or D. And as a result, you know, the party is the place that you have to go in order to be successful in this kind of a situation.
And that was a situation. I know that Tom takes a lot of criticism from time to time about doing that, because I voted for the Constitutional Party for once, you know, and so forth. But sometimes you have to take it in your own hands. Now,
you know, by the way, Tommy came this close to making the Republican Party in Colorado a minor party.
Yeah. That's why they got 10% of the vote.
You think they forgot that?
Well, no. And there were people who went to vote, I'm sure, who said, well, you know what? Didn't say anything about Tom. He's probably not going to get to 51, so I got to keep the Republican Party the majority. So some people thought that way, rather than about.
I think they hated. I swear to God,
you think?
I mean, I think they hated him so much that
for
they,
doing it. Yeah,
they just.
Well, someone had to do it.
The way I felt, and so it's always like, well, who's gonna? Mikey, try my he'll eat anything.
But I think, you know, when it goes back, I mean,
the little red hen.
Exactly. Yeah. There's nothing wrong though with going back to these basic values about what this country needs, which is always and everywhere to balance the budget, to stop China from being the world superpower, to keep our countries in the middle class wages from going continually down, and losing our middle class forever.
But see, as long as you provide health care and food and underwriting rent and you take care of people and you put their minds someplace else and you give them cell phones,
but
you know, you're asking for, I mean, I'm not a
crazy
person, but I can read this stuff.
Yeah, of course you can. And maybe I'm still living in this dream world where we can't write off the 47% of the people, like Mitt Romney said. We've got to encourage people. This is not all you can be. Because my life, I'd be pumping gas somewhere in the East Coast if it wasn't for, you know, some people intervening in my life and showing me that I could be more than I could be.
Tommy, what's the way out? We'll do this again next week.
Well, of course it is to, first of all, concentrate on the state level. I mean, Mike has his job cut out for him on what he's got to accomplish at the federal level. At the state level, really and truly, it is the education system. I am absolutely committed to trying to do something about this education system. It is a responsibility of the state. We have to provide a free, thorough, and uniform system according to the Constitution. But that does not mean we have to own the system. It doesn't mean that the only system you have is the one the government creates. We have to make it much more diversified, and we have to create a standard that does, in fact, force children into being taught the value of American civilization. Before we can wrap it up, can I just give a shout out to Rich over here in Gunsmoke? We just finished a really successful
only you.
It's just great. A very successful fundraising activity where we gave away an AR-15 and that raised a really big sum of money for us, more than we've ever raised before. And thanks a lot, of course, to Ted Nugent. Sent out the little email for us. But the fellow that we want to give a shout out to at Gunsmoke is a fellow by the name of Brian Meidel, who indeed is providing the AR-15 for us.
Do this real quick. Can you do this? We got to cut a little bit of time here, but do this. About the Lynn Bartles phone call. I love Lynn.
Yeah.
I've known Lynn a thousand years at the Post. Bartles calls you.
She calls me up and she says, Tom, she said, Tom, we're getting all these emails. Every time you send out something by Ted Nugent, we get all these emails from Republicans and Democrats saying, this guy is terrible. He said these horrible things. He called the president a lying mongrel and all this stuff. And I said, oh, Lynn, I am so glad you called me because I have this great line to use. When this first happened, I thought of it, and I thought, who am I going to tell this to? And then here you are. You give me a call, and I said, and why this really works out for me is that, and why I really like Ted for doing this is because
first time in your life,
for the first time in my life, I'm able to say something that never before I've been able to utter. And she says, what's that? And I said, well, I wouldn't go that far.
We're coming right back. Hang on.